From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
And welcome back, Wisconsin. It is the Bill Michaels Show, Wednesday edition. Tim Allen in for Bill today. Thanks for listening. Just getting over the hump here and a little bit closer to the holiday. Well, we're in the holiday season, closer to the holiday itself. And we're hoping a nice Christmas present for the Milwaukee Brewers. And some interesting comments last hour. From a Bear analyst down in Chicago on Mike McCarthy. I want to replay that for you. I thought that was that was pretty interesting. And I had to give him grief as well as talking with Danny Parkins in June that he called the Brewers the adorable little brother. And apparently there's been some clarification on that, and he said it was basically based on economics, that it's always going to be the little brother because the Brewers can't afford this, that, and the other thing. So I thought that was interesting as well. Speaking of Brewers, we will hit the Schneider Orange Hotline and welcome in from the winter meetings in Las Vegas, Adam McAlvey, our insider from MLB.com and Brewers.com. Adam, what's happening?
Yay, good morning, Tim.
Yeah.
What's happening? Just final full day, and we had lunch with the Craig Council today. There's a manager's luncheon every year here. It's the finest, you know, it's always chicken. It's always chicken at these kinds of things. So it's the finest rubbery chicken you could ever want.
Yeah, it's like a bowling banquet. You get chicken and mostaccioli. There are your choices. Those are the easy ones. All right, let's see. Latest, Jimmy Nelson, a little over $3 million. They must be pretty confident, or Jimmy Nelson has earned it. Your thoughts on Jimmy Nelson?
No, I mean, part of that's just procedural. You know, guys in arbitration, the salary is not going to go down in almost every case. It's at least the same or more. And when a guy misses a full season, sort of the precedent is that the salary stays the same. The change was that there's a $50,000 bonus if he wins comeback player of the year. And I talked to someone who was part of this, and you know, and they were happy that the Brewers were willing to include that. Look, in the scheme of for you know, I'll take $50,000 any day. In baseball, that's not a huge amount of money for a major league player, but I think it meant something to put that little carrot for him to chase. You know Jimmy Nelson, Tim, and he's the guy who likes to have something out there dangling, you know, not just financially, but just a goal. And I, you know, I'm pretty sure that that he'll put everything in it to try to you know, come back and have a solid season. So just one little item to scratch off the to-do list. They still got some other guys, six more. And those will go later. That this was kind of an anomaly because you missed the year. Usually these guys don't sign until closer to the date where they make those figures.
Interesting that when you think about GM David Stearns and the challenges that he has in a market size like this, we just mentioned the economics of the game. When you look at what Jeremy Jeffress did throughout this season, he signs a little over $3 million. You could make the argument that Jimmy Nelson is a steal at a little over $3 million. What Christian Yelich is being paid, you know, he lands a couple of catchers inexpensively, and possibly another one. We'll get to that in a second. But I think that is one of the biggest challenges. Talent is one thing, but I mean, it's doing it within the budget that David Stearns has.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's probably always going to be part of the story, that there's going to be limitations with the way baseball is structured compared to the other sports. You know, some teams have more money to spend on players than others, and I know that can be a frustrating concept when a team is coming off Game 7 of the National League Championship Series, and they drew all those fans, and they have drawn really well all these years. But just kind of the reality of the sport is that for this team, the number, the kind of magic number, as I see it, has been around $110 million in player payroll. When you get to that point, it's gotten a little uncomfortable. And that even goes back to sort of the you know, the post 2011 teams when they spent. It, that is just where the budget starts to get stretched. And Mark Attanasio, I think he's proven to fans that when there's opportunities to spend, he's going to do it. He will say sometimes to his detriment, where he's been maybe too aggressive, and it's hurt him in subsequent years. But I think because of the experience, maybe where some of those deals have hurt them a little bit in their future spending, Matt Garza, maybe a little bit Kyle Loesch, he's hesitant to do something that is going to hamstring the team from making a really important move when they want to slash need to make it. They like the core of this team. They like the young pitchers that they have. They are not going to make a deal here at the winter meetings for public relations purposes. They're not going to sign a second baseman early because they want to, you know, get it done. They're going to try to make a smart deal. And it can be a little, I sense a little frustration from some corners of the fan base about the fact that there are these limitations and that we are still talking about budget after the team has success like it had. But I just kind of think that is the reality. And I don't think, unless things just totally change the way baseball is structured, I don't think that's ever going to change for this team. It's always going to be kind of the reality for the general manager of this club that you're going to have to do things smart. You're going to have to hit on comeback candidates. You're going to have young players, minimum salary guys contribute in big ways. That's just the way it is here. And it's different in other places.
We'll see, Adam, And if I could, just one more note on that, to speak on behalf of the fans. And here's how some of the fan base is looking at this. And you say $110 million, and I understand that. But I think when you delve a little bit deeper into it, here's the problem that they have with this. And from what I've heard on my shows is that, you know, you got a guy that buys the team for $220 million, and God bless him for getting such a great rate. And then all of a sudden, you know, a decade later, it's worth $1 billion. And what do we say to fans? And when they say, hey, you can't dip into this, that pool a little bit on a given year?
Well, and look, without seeing the books, it's hard for me to, you know, answer that completely. But I think what they would say is that that it is in the fans' interest, in the team's interest, and everyone's interest to run a smart business for the long term versus have the team be the piggy bank of the owner. That doing things that way, it's not a smart long-term business plan. And the emotion has to come out of it a little bit. This is still a business, and these are very rich men who own these teams. And look, yesterday Stu Sternberg and the Tampa Bay Rays were up at the podium and did a little press conference. Their stadium deal fell apart in Tampa Bay. These are very rich people that could build a baseball stadium if they wanted to. But it is, they say, from their perspective, an unwise business decision to open the piggy bank and build a stadium. I think you can have arguments about whether that's right or not. I mean, a lot of smart people, many of them, maybe they're right, think that the owners should have to pay for their own buildings. But it's not the way the game works. It's not the way that these guys view running smart long-term franchises. So that's just a long way of saying, I agree, you know, it's not our money, so it's easy to say Mark should just write checks. But again, I think his plan, and I think he's tried to be upfront with it, is that if you run it as a smart business, it will pay dividends in the long term. And that's the way they've opted to do it.
Yeah,
and look, the other thing, Tim, I would just say is that when there have been opportunities to aggressively go get somebody, he said yes. I haven't heard many stories of a player being available and ready to sign, and the general manager, whoever it's been, whether Doug or David Stearns, goes to Mark and says, look, we think this is a good deal. We want to do this. It's going to cost you this. And Mark has said no. Maybe that's happened and they just kept that buttoned up. But I've never heard a story about when that's happened.
Doug Melvin, years ago, had stressed to, I think Craig Counsell conveyed the story, that Melvin came down and stressed to the players and the coaching staff of how important the fan base is. I thought that was, you know, my tune changed a little bit. And, I'm pro Brewers all the way, but I think that was cool of the organization, and they still have that philosophy, right? I mean, if 2.8 million fans on average for a decade don't come out, payroll isn't anywhere near 110, correct?
No, yeah, I agree with that. I mean, Council told a lot of stories during the postseason about sort of that run that they had this year when a lot of people who maybe weren't engaged got really engaged with this particular team. And I think he talked a lot about how you feel a responsibility to that. And I think that's part of spending, too. You are responsible for putting the best team on the field that you can when the fans support it. And you know, again, I think they tried to do that. And let's see where this offseason goes. The thing that I don't know if we've talked about this a lot. It's not the most fun thing to add up salaries and things like that. But I'm pretty sure that if the team as it stands right now, they'll have to sign these arbitration guys, six more still to set contracts, you know, salary figures for next season. Then you fill out the roster. Let's say they fill it out with all minimum salary guys. The way the team does the accounting, they account for like DL spending, call-ups, in-season acquisitions, and other sort of player-related costs throughout the year that they're able to project a round number for it. They're a record payroll right now. That's what I've heard their internal numbers look like. I don't know that we've talked that much about that. And I think that is part of the equation. And look, that's before they sign a second baseman. That's before they see if they can upgrade a catcher. You know they're going to bring in multiple pitchers before this is done. There are dozens and dozens of pitchers still out there in free agency. Every team signs relievers. They'll bring in some sort of Wade Miley types to try to get some starting, you know, some innings out of them as a starter, and maybe some of those guys surprise. So there are still moves to be made and time to do this. So I think that the way that the path is right now, it's going to be a record payroll. And I don't know that because so much of the team is coming back, because there hasn't been much less a splashy signing, any outside major league signing so far this winter. I'm not certain that we've sort of reflected that very much, talked about that very much.
All right, real quick, a final last thing for you, Adam, is you are there in Vegas at the winter meetings. Wilson Ramos, there's some rumors, Kluber and JT Realmuto and a three-way and things like that. Are we any closer at all? I know it's just a few days into the winter meetings. Any closer at all to a named player being signed by the Brewers?
No, and I know that is a frustrating thing because these meetings are, you know, in the news and they're designed to kind of spur movement. But that's the way this offseason might go for the Brewers because their need is second base. That happens to be a very strong buyer's market in that there are way more players available than there are jobs. And when you know, a team that has to kind of think about the payroll at least, it's a good position to be patient in that market. You're looking for a stopgap guy to get you to Keston Hira or Mauricio Dubon. Both of those guys are going to start the year in the minors. That's been said. That is cemented. That's the way it's going to be. So you're looking for a short-term type solution. I think they're going to wait and go late, try to get a player on a contract that's a club-friendly type of deal, and it allows you some flexibility to go get, like I said, some pitchers and get some depth for your organization. So I think this offseason, now I may be wrong, if something pops and they sign a player today, that can always happen here when you have everybody in the same building. But I think it's going to be one of those offseasons where it's a little slower to develop. It is a less a volume of activity than in some of David Stern's winner's past. He's been really clear about that from the start. And now it's becoming evident that that's the way it's going to be. So it's going to be a little more, I hate to say this, as someone covering the team, and I want everyone to go read what I'm writing, but it's a little more of a boring offseason for this team. It's just the way the roster is right now. It's the way the roster is constructed, that they've got a lot of guys that are controllable, and that, you know, that's a smart way to build a team. It's just a little bit less interesting for those of us trying to figure things to write about as we, you know, grind our way to spring training.
Can't disagree with that. Adam McAlvey, enjoy your time in Las Vegas at the winter meetings. I appreciate it. We'll talk again, all right?
Now, just because I said that, in the next 20 minutes, we're going to trade for Corey Kluber and JT Realmuto.
That's
right?
The way it works, yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I'm going to get to work.
Take it easy. There he is, Adam McAlvey, MLB.com, Brewers.com, on the Schneider Orange Hotline.
Schneider hiring drivers right now. They work hard, you work hard, they treat you fair for 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them at 800-44-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com.
Mike McCarthy, topic of conversation. We'll have that for you next here, Wednesday edition of the Bill Michaels Show.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at Van Horn Auto. Hey, sometimes a ride around the block's just not enough. That's why Van Horn offers a 90-day test drive program. I'm not kidding. They have a location in Plymouth, Manitowoc, Stoughton. You can take a ride in a new Ram 1500 or a Jeep Grand Cherokee or a Dodge Charger or a Dodge Grand Caravan or a Chrysler Pacifica. 90 days, no obligation. Hey, if you're not satisfied, bring it back. No additional commitment. But if you buy it, you can save up to $2,000. I'm not kidding. I just picked up a luxury car. It's wrapped in a 2019 Ram 1500, but it's like a luxury car. From the folks over at the Truck Center in Plymouth, I love this thing. VanHornAuto.com. That's VanHornAuto.com. See all the inventory that qualifies for the 90-day test drive program exclusively at Van Horn Auto.
All right, welcome back. It's a Wednesday edition of the Bill Michaels Show. Tim in for Bill today. Thanks, Wisconsin, for listening. And last hour, we talked with our broadcast brother from the Score in Chicago. And talking Bears, Packers, and a little bit of Cubs, Brewers in that as well. And interesting comments on Mike McCarthy. And now that the dust has settled just a bit, a week plus removed from the termination of Mike McCarthy and that 125-77-2 mark and eight consecutive, and we can go on and on about the division titles and nine playoff appearances in his 12-plus years. You know, my philosophy has still been this, that, you know, you have to win Super Bowls, plural. I know a lot of factors go into winning a Super Bowl. A lot of factors go into winning a title in any sport. Things, you know, you need a little bit of luck. Obviously, you have to have the talent. You have to have the right strategy. And just a lot of things need to go right for you. But nonetheless, it is multiples is where I rank a longtime coach. And for whatever reason, if a coach doesn't get it done and you feel that he's had the talent to get it done more than just once, because an outlier can step up and win a Super Bowl at any time. Case in point, and yes, I say outlier, a team that wasn't there in the upper echelon of, you know, projections and things like that, win total and odds to win the Super Bowl, Philadelphia Eagles last year. Go back to last year, week 3, 4, 5. Nobody had thought the Eagles were going to win the Super Bowl. Maybe internally the Eagles did, but, I mean, on the outside, uh-uh. So there could be an outlier that pops up and wins the Super Bowl. I'm not saying that's what happened with Mike McCarthy. But nonetheless, at the end of the day, that is the one Super Bowl that he did win. And that means a lot. It does. So the ensuing in the prior years that he won division titles and got a deep run in the playoffs, and this happened, and Bostic and Seattle and all this, we could come up with a bunch of things that just didn't drop right for the Green Bay Packers. So I don't want to waver on this, as I've talked about before, in terms of Mike McCarthy, but I think sometimes, regardless of success, that change needs to be made. I didn't agree with when they made this change, as stated last Monday, because they were mathematically still alive to revive a season. But we go to the outside looking in, and we go to a broadcaster, a Bears broadcaster, a Chicago broadcaster, if you will, that has these comments about the Packers' former head coach. Can you just expand on that just a little bit more, Danny, on you know, the guy's got a Super Bowl title, but should it have been more, et cetera, et cetera. But you've been pretty critical about McCarthy.
Yeah, I mean, Trent Dilfer has a Super Bowl title, too. No one says he's a great quarterback. So, like, I think if you do your analysis based on, oh, he has a ring, it's just pretty lazy. Whether you want to talk about the lack of creativity and innovation with the offense, the number of players who have spoke out, like Greg Jennings or Jeff Saturday, they're talking about changing play calls. Basically, the moral of the story is, if you have the most talented quarterback in the history of football, which is what Aaron Rodgers is, and that's not hyperbole, that's fact. He has the highest passer rating career in the history of football. He's in front of Brady. He's in front of Breeze. He's in front of Manning. he's number one, you should go to more than one Super Bowl with that guy. We can talk about the specifics of being conservative and settling for short field goals in the NFC title game against Seattle and how there wasn't an onside kick and that's not on McCarthy. And we can go through any of the specifics if you want. We can talk about burning timeouts. We can talk about scapegoating defensive coordinators. The moral of the story is Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback than Mike McCarthy is coach. And this idea that Aaron Rodgers is somehow to blame entirely or even have the majority of the blame. I'm not saying he bears no responsibility for his play, and it's clearly eroded, but he's 2 years younger than Roethlisberger, 5 years younger than Brees, 7 years younger than Brady. I happen to think Aaron Rodgers has a lot of great football left, and when you look around the NFL and you see the domination of these young quarterbacks when they get into good, innovative offensive systems that use RPOs, that bring guys in motion, that use multiple formations, that'll match up and say, okay, this nickel corner is our weakness, so we're going to target him 10 consecutive plays, you know, in the passing game in a row, and we're going to game plan specific things to put our quarterback in the best possible position to succeed. That hasn't been what has happened with Mike McCarthy under Aaron Rodgers recently. I think you guys go out, you get a young, innovative, offensive-minded head coach, you implement the new system, you use those first-round picks, your young defensive players come up. I think the Packers are going to be fighting with the Bears for NFC North supremacy next year, and I will pick Aaron Rodgers once again to win MVP, just like I did this year, because he's the best player in the sport.
That's Danny Parkins on The Score in Chicago last hour. Critical words about Mike McCarthy, and some of it I agree with, some of it I don't. I don't know. Again, I measure the success as multiple Super Bowls. Should he have had multiple Super Bowl titles, Mike McCarthy? Because we're not grading Mike McCarthy as a head coach would be graded in Miami for the Dolphins. It's a different level. It is a different level. The bar is higher. That, I think, is fair. Because when the bar is higher, then you expect more out of it, and you didn't get, but I say just the one Super Bowl, but it is one Super Bowl. A little critical of Mike McCarthy. And would that be the plan then moving forward? Young, innovative, offensive-minded head coach in the NFL. That seems to be the trend these days. And I've noticed over the years that trends in the NFL tend to be shorter shelf life because the league then adjusts to it. And the case in point would be the read option quarterbacks of 5 years ago. Everybody thought that that was the new trend in the NFL, and that was going to be the thing. You have to do this. You have to have a mobile quarterback, and you have to have, you know, defenses adjusted to it. And it took care of that stuff right quick. A lot quicker than I thought, actually. But Mike McCarthy, from the outside, an outsider, looking up at Mike McCarthy, he was sort of slamming him. I don't know, your thoughts if you want to comment on those words from our buddy in Chicago. 855-830-8648. Tim Allen in for Bill today here on The Bill Michaels Show.
Border to border, The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
This portion of the program brought to you by our good friends at Quick Trip, giving away $15,000 in prizes. Now, you can win an Apple Watch, a Yeti cooler, a PS4 bundle, a KitchenAid mixer, so much more. All you got to do is visit the store, Quick Trip. Through December 25th, you're automatically entered if you're using your Quick Rewards card. If you don't have it, go to quicktrip.com or just download the app and you're registered right away. Just remember, though, you got to register your card. Go to quicktrip.com or just download the app on your mobile device and you are good to go. That is our good friends from Quick Trip.
Thank you, Bill, and welcome back to a Wednesday edition of the Bill Michaels Show. Whether you're listening in La Crosse or Madison or Appleton or Eau Claire, Wausau, we appreciate that. Tim Allen in for Bill. Joe Zanzola is here. He's going to be back tomorrow, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So this Sunday's game, about a 6 or 7 point spread in this game. Packers still alive in the NFC playoff picture. The Vikings need to to open up a little bit more. Did you watch the game on Monday? You happened to see the Vikings, right? Yeah, you did. Vikings don't look good right now. They fire their offensive coordinator. And that's how bad they've been, at least recently. The Carolina Panthers have all but given up, and the schedule looks pretty daunting for them. And the reason I mention these teams, that's the NFC playoff race. Carolina Panthers, losers of five in a row, two of the next three games, two of their remaining three games against the New Orleans Saints. There's no, well, again, stranger things have happened, but there's really a very slim chance that they win two in a row against the New Orleans Saints. Then you have the Philadelphia Eagles. They're going to have to play a team that just lost to the Bears on a big Sunday night game. That's the Rams. I don't know if the Eagles are up for that task. Rams need to bounce back. So that would open the door. The Washington Redskins, they're sitting there with six wins. They're, as Tom Petty would say, free-falling. And they have a Josh Johnson at quarterback. So they're going to open the door for the Packers. And then you have the daunting task of upsetting the Bears. Or is it that big of an upset? Would it be that big of an upset, considering Aaron Rodgers-led offense? Considering an Aaron Rodgers, as he said, to lead and inspire down the stretch. Now, a colleague of mine, we call him the Polish pipe bomb, said, look at the difference between Mike McCarthy's, the offense or the game plan against the Cardinals, and now you look at, the very next week, new coach, and then you have, the win over Atlanta, and things looked a little bit different. I think the players looked a little bit different. Why did it take a firing of a head coach to have players flying around the football and having an extra pep in their step? Isn't that an indictment on the players then? If they all of a sudden are they're fired up, they're rejuvenated. I don't know, man. I thought that was weird.
It was pretty simple. Game plan was simplified. Joe Philbin came out and said, look, we're going to have plays designed for each and every one of you where this is what we're going to do. The ball's going to you. Be in this particular spot, and we're going to go. And the Packer offense had rhythm on that opening drive against Atlanta.
Seemed like a better rhythm.
Yeah, it was just constant dink and dunk where Rodgers, three-step drop, throw it to St. Brown. Three-step drop, going to throw it to Devontae. Three-step drop, this is where you guys are going to be. This is who it's going to. And it was a well-oiled machine. And one could argue this is what Aaron Rodgers wanted all along, but Mike McCarthy wanted something different.
Thus, the conversation should have had Aaron Rodgers as a consultant for that offense.
Aaron Rodgers, as we've learned, would change plays on the fly.
Fine.
Mike McCarthy has the play call. This is what we're going to do. But Aaron Rodgers in the huddle says, nope. MVS, ball's going to you, buddy. This you got to get open. So if that meant Rodgers was going to have to scramble out to find MVS, that's what he was going to do.
Well,
again, it led to this friction between these two guys.
I just noticed an extra flair of a majority of those players. And I know there's a little bit of a honeymoon once there's a coaching change. And a lot of times a team will step up, a managerial change in baseball. Look what happened this past season to the St. Louis Cardinals. And they let Mike Matheny shockingly go, and all of a sudden they get on a roll and are a pretty good baseball team for the majority of the second half. I get that happens, but I think to say that the players now all of a sudden are just this energetic, rejuvenated, I think that's wrong. Because then I got to ask, where were you 3 weeks ago? Where was that, at least with the attitude, where was that 3 weeks ago? Were you mailing it in just because it seemed to be a down year?
I wasn't watching that game against the Falcons. I wasn't sitting there going, man, this offense has done a complete 180. I don't know what they had to do. I looked at it and said, you know what? The Falcons were god-awful, and they gave the Packers numerous gifts in that game. That game, I felt, could have been much closer had the Falcons not shot themselves in the foot as many times as they did with penalties. Penalties played a big part in that game, and it really helped the Packers. Aaron Rodgers came close to having two interceptions, one of which should have been a pick six. It was right in the breadbasket of Deion Jones. That could have changed the game dramatically.
But have we considered that Aaron Rodgers is going to take a few more risks because of the situation that he's in?
Absolutely.
Or his team is in. And I look for that on Sunday, too. And I know it's a ball-hawking defense for the Chicago Bears, and you know, their turnover rate is amazing. But, man, this is it. They're alive, and when you've got a guy that needs to win this game, I think it's a tougher task to win this game than it would be for the scenarios to shake out that the Packers would get in. This is the biggest challenge. This is the biggest one. If the Packers are going to get into the playoffs, if they win this game, I think they're in. I do. I think those scenarios play out. We projected this a week ago, prior to last week's game, that the scenarios look like they could shake out for Green Bay. And everything that had to drop right, dropped right. Every single game in the NFC playoff picture that the Packers needed to happen, happened. And now the biggest challenge out of all the other factors involved, the Eagles and the Redskins and the Panthers and the Vikings, the biggest challenge out of all of that is going to be a win over Chicago at Soldier Field. And when you call it an upset, I agree. I hate to agree with it. I don't like agreeing that it would be an upset. It wouldn't be that big of an upset. I don't think it'd be any sort of close to shocking if and when the Packers win that game on Sunday.
I don't know, man. And
a shocker, though? Couldn't you, if the Packers win that game, couldn't you sit back and in hindsight say, you know, I should have known. This is Aaron Rodgers here. This is Devontae. You know what I mean?
So yeah, I know, sure.
I'm just saying, skip over the game, and if the Packers win, then you look back and you say, gosh, that was easy money. That was, you know, Aaron Rodgers down there.
The problem for me is, and I think a lot of Packer fans would agree, we've been all tortured this year with how the Packers have played.
But now it's more positive.
Against great teams and against lesser teams, we have been tortured this year with how they've played, and we continue to scratch our heads each and every week going, why aren't they better than this?
The NFL.
Why not?
The additional thing before the break here, the additional thing here is, the NFL runs in cycles a lot, and it's very cyclical in nature a lot of times. And when a team gets rolling, what happens? A lot of times they're humbled. They're brought back down to earth. That just happens in life, too. I've had my wrist slapped a lot in this industry when I thought I was rolling. But that same thing. The Bears are an absolute lock for a humbling. I don't know about Sunday. That team's going to get humbled, and it will soon. The Rams got theirs on Sunday. The Patriots got theirs on Sunday. And it could be the Bears against Green Bay at Soldier Field. We'll be back on the Bill Michaels Show.
This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at Neumel Medical. Hey, guys, if you're still struggling with erectile dysfunction, don't be deceived by this pill or that pill out there. ED can be caused by many underlying health issues or just maybe normal aging. The problem is with the pills, they don't get to the root of the problem, and they have some nasty side effects. Call the medical experts at Neumel Medical Center. They're going to create an ED solution especially for you, and you're going to see the results in the first visit. Otherwise, that first visit is free. And if you're sluggish, you're moody, you're foggy, and your stamina is really low like I had, that could be low T. Thanks to Neumel, plenty of energy to tackle my crazy life and crazy lifestyle. And if you want to shed some pounds, check out Neumel's all-in-one weight loss program. I'm down over 50 pounds, and I've kept it off. It's great. I feel younger. I'm getting back in the game. Guys, call Neumel Medical Center today. Give them a buzz. 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451. 5-1 locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay. Call them today, 414-455-4451.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Let the good times roll.
And I want these words to be.
Now, a green and gold update. Here's Mike Clemens.
It's the Packers and the Bears this Sunday at noon in Chicago. The Bears coming off a 15-6 win over the LA Rams on Sunday Night Football. The Bears defense dominated the game, intercepting Rams quarterback Jared Goff four times and nailing him in the end zone for a safety. Chicago's Khalil Mack says the Bears' key word on defense, dominate.
That's the thing I love about this defense, man. I mean, no fault to the offense. Just another opportunity for us to go out and show our domination, and that's the mindset from everybody.
The Bears fans are becoming a factor at Soldier Field. They really got loud during the game. Chicago's head coach, Matt Nagy.
We gave the game ball to the city and to the fans, and that's what it's all about. This is all about us and doing this thing together. Our players appreciate it. It was absolutely electrifying from the start to the finish. I mean, it was just powerful.
Packers interim head coach Joe Philbin, after watching the tape of the Bears defense, led by coordinator Vic Fangio.
They're really good at taking the ball away. That really helps the overall big picture of winning and losing football games. They're very well coached, you know, both the front seven, the back end, well coordinated in that regard. And they're talented, you know. I mean, they've got good players at every level of the defense.
And now former linebackers coach Winston Moss, fired last week after 13 seasons in Green Bay, was asked, did he see any rift between Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers?
I don't know the dynamic in the relationship with Mike and A-Rod. Come on, I got to deal with Clay Matthews.
That's Winston Moss in Green Bay. I'm Mike Clemens on the Bill Michaels Show.
Welcome back, Bill Michaels Show. Tim in for Bill today. The more I hear about and talk about this Bear team, just because you didn't. The last couple of years, you didn't fear them. You didn't. Yeah, they were like a non-factor. They were the adorable little brother that has a football team at the field down there. Now that they're decent, and you're hearing Khalil Mack and Nagy and broadcasters and these guys, you know, puff their chest out. I want the Packers to beat the Bears and humble them so bad. You're right, Joe. We talked in the break that they did lose to the Giants a few games ago, but that wasn't considered heading in. That wasn't considered a big game. And I know it was a big loss because it was a crappy team.
It was right before the Rams game.
But
that had to light a fire under them. I mean, they lost that game in overtime to the Giants.
But like a marquee game. That wasn't a marquee game. It was a Giant game. Now, the Ram game, marquee game. This Packer game, rival, you know, Packers hanging on by a thread type. That's a marquee game. I hope they go down. I do, the Bears.
Hey, man, they're looking for payback after week one, and rightly so.
Ah, that's old news. Forget about that.
Man.
Forget about that. Joe Philbin takes over 1-0 as head coach interim, as it were, of the Green Bay Packers. And he spoke to the media earlier today.
This segment of the Bill Michaels Show is brought to you by Concordia Veterans Services Department, dedicated to preparing veterans to make an impact within their next mission through education. See them at cuw.edu/veterans. Now, let's hear from the coach.
Yeah, there he is, Joe Philbin. A couple of more comments. Stick around. Got a Packer defensive game plan for you next. Paul Immig will join us. More Packers-Bears conversation. Tim in for Bill today on the Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.